So that, I think, was a very good basis for our series in general. This week, we're talking about jumping over people-pleasing, okay? People-pleasing, okay? And so, Aunt Vicky will go into a lot more detail than what it's about, but basically, the main foundation of it is, who am I more concerned with pleasing my mother? Am I more concerned with pleasing my friends and the people around me, or am I more concerned with pleasing God? So that's just basic. So pass over on to Aunt Vicky.
Anything she, like they came up to you and said, oh, really think what you did was a really good idea, or I think that you really hurt that person saying this, or you didn't do a good job cleaning the backyard, or I don't like the assignment that you've written on this. Okay, would you take it personally?
No?
You might take mental account. Sorry? Now you can think about it, or if you'd like to answer, I'd be happy to listen.
You might take it into account.
You can share something with the group, yes?
Like, I'll take it into account if they say, you know, you didn't clean well, I'll think about it and be like, you know, if I clean to the best of my ability, then I clean to the best of my ability, and I'll dismiss it. But then I might think about it and be like, okay, yeah, they're actually right, and I'll agree with them. But I wouldn't be straight away no or straight away yes, but I'll just consider it.
If somebody asks you to do something and you said, oh no, I can't.
Keep pressure.
Yeah, keep pressure. Yeah, that's a big one. Okay. Fear of rejection. So if you didn't go along with what somebody asked you to do something or call them, you think perhaps they might say, oh, I don't really like that person anymore. Or perhaps you think they won't be so forgiving and then they might give you a cold shoulder for perhaps a few weeks. Nobody's got fear of rejection in this room? No, not this side. Again, it depends on what it is and who's doing the rejection.
Okay. All right. Find it hard to express true feelings, like being very honest and sincere about the way you feel.
No? Have you ever been in court in a situation where somebody's asked you a question and you thought, oh no, I better not be honest because that'll really upset that person. I better stay in the good books. No?
Can I just, you know, point number two? Does that count as, like, say, if a guy has a fear of rejection when asking out a girl?
No, I'm talking about in terms of if, for example, you've got, you're working for somebody at the moment. And what you're doing is, let's say, just paperwork. You're doing filing paper. You're at uni now, so you don't have a proper professional job, so you're just earning some money on the side. And then the person came up to you, who's just, oh, your boss. Okay, your boss came up to you and said, hey, mate, can you go down the road and buy me a cup of coffee? Okay, so you go down the road, come back, and your work's piling up. And you desperately want this job. And then a few minutes later, do you mind just going down and posting this down in the post office? Okay? So you think, oh, no, I'll do it if he tells me because he's the boss. And then a few minutes later, he said, oh, actually, I've got to buy some bread and milk for my wife. Can you go down the street and buy it? Now, it'll get to a point, okay, you want the job. And you think, well, perhaps, and you know that perhaps there's a promotion going in the next couple of weeks. Would you just continue doing what you did, or would you think, oh, look, mate, I've got all this work to do by the end of the day, and I can't go home till I'm finished?
I'll continue cycling up to him.
That's being a people pleaser.
Because
fear of losing your job. That's exactly what I was trying to hear.
But I mean, it's not a fear of. I'm not trying to fix him. I just want money.
That's right.
But that's not being a people pleaser. Because if you're
not going to
get.
No, it's actually being.
No, but if you were to speak your true feelings, everyone wouldn't have a job. That's for sure. Everyone.
Okay, we're going to come to a point later on in this discussion as to when do you say yes and when do you say no. say no. Okay.
Yeah.
There's actually a point, a really good point. Okay, next. Have a hard time saying no.
Oh, yeah.
Having a hard time saying no. You've got an assignment due on Monday. And you have to go to a family function tomorrow, and you've got to go to church on Sunday, and you've got, what else have you got? Oh, you want to go out and make Saturday night because it's a really good party on. And then someone comes up and says, hey, you know, I've just written this thesis. Oh, no, that's rich and I just read that. Let's say, oh, right, okay. I live over at somewhere far away, Palm Beach, okay? And my car just broke down. I can't get anyone to pick me up, and I really need to get home. Can you give me a lift? Yeah. But this guy is a really good friend of yours, really good friend of yours. What are you going to do?
Do you have anything ahead of you? Is there like, I have to do something else?
Yeah, you have all this work.
Yeah, you've got an assignment, you've got all this.
Oh,
things.
I got you. You that.
Oh, sorry. You've got an assignment due on Monday. You've got a family due. Anything. I've got to finish this assignment, but I've got all these things. And going over to wherever, they might take a couple of hours. Would you say no? Would you say no?
It depends how close the person is to me.
A very good friend.
Yeah, then why not?
Cancel the party.
But it is
cancel the party. The party that you're going to is another really good friend.
Okay, well, like,
instead of having to pick up a really good friend, someone's asking to come to church and spend 2 hours of your time to clean, or...
Oh, yeah.
That's an obvious answer, though. Sorry, I'm not going to pick
up
Simon's maybe next time.
But isn't it a Christian
community? Look, I think that we all save ourselves by saying, is this the Christian thing to do?
But anyway, can we...
Okay. Now you've got to be very, very careful. Now I'll tell you when it becomes an issue. It becomes an issue. It becomes an issue when you start being more concerned about what people think than when what God thinks. Okay? So you've got to look at what that person is asking you to do. Is this going to conflict with what you think, what God is expecting you to do? Let's say you said, tonight I'm going to go home and do my Lent prayers. I'm going to go home and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to listen to a sermon. And I'm just going to spend some quiet time with God. And then you've got a friend that rings up and says, let's go out. And it's, oh no, I really want to spend that time. Come on, mate, come on, you know, we're going to have a really good time. Please, come on, you know, I really need you tonight. You know, come with me and we're going to have a good time. I can't go to this place by myself and you know, just come on, it won't be long. Really great, he's done this for me, that person's really good because he took me there, or that person's really there, he's lent me some money, that person's amazing, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So this sort of, this response really puts you in a very good feeling that you're popular, you're loved, everyone likes you, well liked. And but then again, you get to a point where you become so involved with pleasing people that you don't have enough time for what you should be having time for. You become overcommitted. Okay? Being overcommitted actually does take your time, take you time away from God. Okay, next. Now, can it be a form of idolatry? What do you think?
Yes,
can it?
Yes.
So I was going to say, well, in relation to what you just said now, you're looking at it as just a negative aspect. You couldn't have seen it as a positive aspect as well. Like you're saying, giving a lift to a friend, that person wasn't going to get a lift, maybe might have taken the bus. So you're going out of your way to help others, isn't that being a Christian?
Okay. There is actually, when I actually started looking into this topic, I think the actual heading is pleasing others. Okay. Now, there is a point where it's not so much, that's not really pleasing others, that's more of a service. So you've got to look at what is a service in the eyes of God. You're going to glorify God in what you're going to be doing. Okay. You're going out of your way, you're sacrificing your time, your effort, your energy, whatever, to be helping your friend out. Okay. So are you pleasing others to get self-acclaim, or you're doing what you're doing as a service? So that's what you've got to differentiate. And there's a really fine line there. So you've got to look at your motives. But anyway, we're going to be looking at a few more examples, and perhaps it'll be clearer hopefully by the end of the year. Next. Okay. Now, this verse from Proverbs 29 said, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Now, the fear of man here is being a people pleaser. Do you know what a snare is? A trap. It's a trap. Okay, so let's have a look at three different, specifically what traps. Can I have the first one? I will compromise for you, trap. I will compromise. Okay, I'll give you an example. Again, this party. Great. I'm going to a party, and it's someone from uni is holding this party. Someone you met at uni. You know there's going to be grog there. There's going to be a lot of grog. And you don't want to go on your own, so you go to your best mate at church. So, look, can you come with me? I just met this guy, and it looks like it's going to be a good party. And you know, there might be a little bit of grog. Oh, but that's okay if you want to drink alcohol. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, we know what we're doing. We're not going to drink. Okay? So there's your compromise there. You know, right from the very beginning, you could say to yourself, okay, I think perhaps there might be a bit of temptation there. I'm not going to put myself in that position. I'm not going to drag my good friend from your church because that might put him in a very difficult predicament as well. Okay? Maybe I should just reconsider and just do something that probably would honour God more. See what I mean? Just an example. Okay, next. I will overcommit to you, trap. I will overcommit. Now, there's a thing, actually there's a big problem with overcommitting. You can take on commitments and keep piling and piling and piling and piling and piling. And those commitments don't involve God. It's going to come to a point where you actually can't hear God speaking to you. And actually the verse that came to my to me when I was actually looking at that particular trap is the one that says, "Be still and know I am God." Okay? I find that when I get caught up with a very, very busy lifestyle, and I got one thing after another, after another, and after another. And in fact, after when the dean said to me, can you do this? I thought, I've got so much on my plate. But what am I saying no to?
No.
And then I thought, yeah. So I thought, no, I can do this and do this and do this and do that. When it comes to doing work of God.
If, I was just going to ask you about that. Well, like, in terms of your service at church, let's say people are asking you to do things that would literally require you to be in a million different places at the same time. At what point do you stop and say, I cannot do this, even though it is the work of God?
Okay, when it takes time away from you having a relationship with God. You could be heavily into service and doing a lot of good stuff around, at the church, but if it's taking time away from you having a relationship with the Lord, then that service is not really, you've got to know where your limits are, okay? And you don't substitute your, when I was talking about being a people pleaser, that can actually fall into the category where you might have a woman asking you this, or the super, or Uncle Maggie asking you to do this, and then another servant that you're working with and asking you to do this, and it just can go on and on and on and on. But if you find that's taking time away from you, you go home at night really, really tired, very, very tired. And that even the abundance, they say they need that retreat time. They need that time to be on their own, having a relationship with God. I mean, it's like being in a marriage, for example. And you say, well, I'm really working hard for my family. I'm out working, and I've got to get this money, and I've got to go and do this and do that, and I really need to get this bigger house, or I've got to get another car. I'm really doing this for my family, and you're out 24/7. So, you might think, well, yes, you're trying to justify like that. But it's having that relationship with the Lord that does require time. It needs you to be still and know that He is God. I know it's a really fine line, because I probably wouldn't be the best person to answer that question. I probably suggest that if you want to make a decision about what services that you're doing, it's probably best to speak to a woman or your confession partner, because he would know.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I will let you limit my success trap. Now, I didn't quite understand that until I read into it, but what that basically means is, let's say that, for example, now going back to service, that you said to your friend again, look, after church today, I think I might stay back and just tidy up, this room, or I'll go outside and clean the tables and pick up the rubbish. And then your friend comes to you and says, oh, we're going up to Brighton, we're going down to, what's that chocolate place? That's what you're all going, there's a big group of us going down to Bay Vista. Bay Vista, chocolate place, Bay Vista. Okay, so what would you say? Okay, so. What would you say?
I would like
You don't like chocolate? Oh, let's say we're not in the Sion. Sorry?
I just said like chocolate.
Okay. Well, give that chocolate up. Let's go to whatever. What would you say? Anyway, you think about that one. Okay. This is another lovely verse that I thought that might put some thought or some reflection. Is, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay? What does that mean? If I was trying to please man, not God, would I still be a servant of Christ? No, because what are you putting? Where are your priorities now? Where are your priorities? Sorry? Actually, the world that we live in is a very
distracting world. It's a very, very distracting world. There's a lot of things to distract us. I'm really surprised. Oh, I hope you're not on the phone. No. I'm really surprised. No, sorry. That none of you are actually on your phones. I thought I'd actually pick that one up. And all of you, because I know that how hard it is not to have that phone in your hand. But just simply having the phone in your hand, constantly distracted. Completely distracted. Just something as little as that. Okay, next. Okay, one Thessalonians, there's several verses from the Bible, this is another one, but it's been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, another one that actually supports that we should really be attesting to or using the word of God to be able to serve God. Okay, maybe this one. I'll quickly go. Oh, this one I really like. Okay, see the big man on that little seesaw? Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, actually, there are several examples in the Bible. This is what we're going to go now through now. In the Bible, where people actually, there were a lot of people who actually followed Jesus and believed in Jesus, but in fear of being kicked out of the synagogue, and that was actually a really bad thing. If you did something against the Pharisees, the first thing they would do, okay, is they would kick you out. So a lot of people who actually believed in our Lord Jesus, in fear of being kicked out of the synagogue, they just did whatever the Pharisees told them. Now the example in the little movie that I'm going to just show you a little clip on is the story of the young blind man who was healed, and they didn't like Jesus' healing on the Sabbath, but his parents were very, very concerned about being told to leave from the synagogue. And if you're being told to leave from the synagogue, then that was a really, really, I mean, you would have developed a very, very bad reputation amongst your Jewish family, friends, your community, it would be an outcome. This goes for about 7 minutes. We're going to be discussing, because there are 2 points of view, and I'm going to...
Dave, can you get the audio on one of the objects?
I just want you to focus on the parents' response, the parents of the blind boy, and compare it with the blind man, I should say. Compare the two different responses. To be able to please the Pharisees because they were concerned about being expelled from the synagogue. Now this young man, looks a lot older there, but he was more concerned, and he was glorifying God. But as you can see, the Pharisees' response was one of disgust.